Writer-director Peter Darney is here to talk about his play Five Guys Chillin' and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Tell us about Five Guys Chillin'.
Five Guys Chillin' is a verbatim drama that looks at the highs and lows of the Kensex party and play scene in London. So it's created from interviews with people that attend sex parties, and I've cut together 50 hours of research material to make a play that looks at the high points and the low points of the scene.
What was your inspiration for this play?
Well, the inspiration actually came from a friend of mine. I didn't really know about this world, and a friend that lived across Clapham Common to me told me about it because he started throwing these parties. And it was very interesting. He'd tell me these sort of scandalous stories, which would be really fascinating and shocking. And seeing his progression from his parties starting on Saturday and finishing on Sunday to going from Friday to Sunday and then Thursday to Tuesday until sadly eventually he became heavily addicted to crystal meth and his house became a sort of 24/7 sex party, made me think that I ought to do something to try and get people talking about this. I think the other inspiration was it's happening everywhere. In London, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'd say that you're never more than 500 meters away from a chill party, a chemsex party. But people don't really talk about it. And it's not really been discussed in the media until quite recently. It's only just reached the mainstream media in the UK recently. So I just wanted to sort of shine a light on it. I just wanted to hold a mirror up and say, this is what's happening. We need to talk about it.
What would you like to accomplish with Five Guys Chillin'?
What I've set out to accomplish with Five Guys Chillin' is to make people think and argue. People leave arguing about the issues, arguing whether it's okay to say no Asians on your Grindr profile, arguing whether taking drugs in the morning constitutes addiction, arguing over what consent might be. I haven't set out to tell anyone anything in terms of how to think. People need to make their own decisions, but you actually have to think about things to make decisions and not go into it blindly. You know, knowledge is power, and we need to think about things from an informed place. So I've just tried to provoke discussion, dialogue about these issues that we can often just not talk about because of the stigma that's attached with them.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I'd say that my commitment is more towards fighting discrimination of any kind through my art, through my theatre. I shine a light on untold stories to make people think about things, to make people get out of their own box, get out of their own comfortable norm and think about other people. So I'd say that it's more about that than specifically targeted towards LGBT civil rights for me. Although, obviously, I have worked on a lot of plays that are trying to push those rights forward. But for me, it's inequality in general and ignorance in general is what I try to fight.
You're from the UK. What would you like to see happen in your country for LGBT equality in the next few years?
I would like to see people able, and this is starting already in some cases, people able to come out at a very early age. I would like people to not have to go through school denying their sexuality. I would like there to be open dialogue and education within our school systems and our community groups so that young people don't have to grow up holding a secret that makes them feel bad and guilty and ashamed and different, and that they don't have to form a lie behind every relationship that they have through this secret as they grow up. Because I think ultimately that's what we need in order to be able to achieve a better or a happier level of intimacy as adults.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
My advice is come out. There will be someone that will love and accept you, and walking around with this secret is such a difficult thing. I was tortured at school, absolutely tortured at school. But when I think back on it, I had some really good friends who, if I told that I was gay, they would have fought for me and I would have been okay. And actually, once someone knows, it's less of a thing than when they're guessing, I think. And also, there may be tough times, but you will have a happy and fulfilling life and also have some fabulous clothes.
How can people get information about Five Guys Chillin'?
You could look on the website, which is www.sohoplayhouse.com, and that's where you could buy some tickets as well. You could look at the Facebook page for my theatre company, which is Emlou Productions, E-M-L-O-U, and you find lots of information there. And there's also, you know, if you Google Five Guys Chillin', lots of information will come up. The plays run for 5 months in London and a month in Edinburgh and also in Dublin and Brighton before it came here. So there's lots of sort of review history and information and images from the play that you could find online. And the play is also going to return to the King's Head shortly. So it's going to open on the 15th of October at the King's Head Theatre, and it will play there until the 5th of November. And you can also find information about that at the King's Head Theatre's website.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm currently working on a few projects. I'm working on a play by Mae West, which we're hoping to put on in East London, which is a very early gay rights play, which features a drag ball in the middle of it. So we're hoping to put in a fabulous sort of queer cabaret in the middle of this play with an LGBT group in East London. So I'm working on that. I'm also writing another couple of plays. I'm writing something about sexting at the moment. My goddaughter entered into an online relationship with a 25-year-old man when she was 13, pretending to be 17 years old. And actually, this story is quite common. So I'm trying to create something that looks at that and sort of thinks about the issues of online safety.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Other than, can I take you to dinner? I think something that I would like to say is that I think that social media apps create an amazing possibility for connection and offer a huge possibility to us right now, but they also hold a threat. And it's something that as a community, I think we just need to think about collectively in some way about how the online opportunities can promote meaningful connection as well as servicing a need and keeping people safe in a way that they do that they weren't before. I was in Carlisle recently and I went on Grindr and I made a friend and it was really fantastic. It's a really good friend of mine now who I never would have met if that app hadn't been there for me to meet. But then at the same time, gay bars are closing and community spaces are closing as more and more of our life shifts online and we don't need those places anymore. And I think that's potentially a dangerous thing. So I think there's some wonderful possibilities, but some threats facing our community right now by these things. And we have to sort of think about how we might use them in order to facilitate connection, intimacy, and community.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
My English grandmother always used to say, so long as you have a packet of cigarettes and a bottle of whiskey, you'll never be alone, my darling. To me, it means survival, and it means nothing really is that difficult. It means that there's nothing that can't be solved with a sip of whiskey and a little bit of relaxation.